To do, I'm going to take you through the second part of this exciting trilogy. These have been messages that have been sort of put together by AJ from Renew Together, and it's always interesting when you're preaching for the first time, when you're also working through someone else's material. And I was looking at it, and I was practicing and rehearsing, and for most of this week I was like, yes, I'm going to nail this, Anthea. And this morning I was like, oh. So I was thinking, oh, Lord, please make a message out of my mess. Please make a testimony out of my test. Actually, that's a message in itself, isn't it? So the Lord will make a message out of your mess. He'll make a testimony out of your test. I think that's the whole message there. Can I sit down, please, Royce? All right, I better keep going then. All right, okay. So, today we're talking about building home. And so I just want to start with a question. I'm just going to push this out to you guys. When I say the word home, what does that mean to you? Just call things out. Just call something out.
Family,
yep. Security, yep.
Warmth.
Journey.
Provision.
Food.
Love.
Safety.
A lot of upkeep,
yeah. Now, a few landlords would agree with that too. Yes, I was waiting for Turangawaewae. Your place of standing. Your security, your strong tower, your place of safety. These are probably some of the ideas that I come up with. Oh, Lindsay?
Faith.
Absolutely.
Foundation.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So if I was to say on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being not important, 10 being really important, what does home mean to you? So how many think it's not very important? Down the zero end. No. How many people think it's maybe around a 5, somewhat important, quite helpful, quite necessary? No. How many people think it's around the 10 mark?
Yeah.
Very important, vitally important. Absolutely. Absolutely. So it's interesting in this world where we live, where home has kind of varying, I guess, home can mean lots of things to different people, but it's almost an idea that's come under siege, come under attack. You know, a lot of us are home insecure, if you like. War, famine, flooding, high rents, high rates, high insurance. You know, I mean, someone says it's all very well, you know, being able to afford to rent a place. The other thing is they don't tell you is how expensive it is to actually be able to afford to live in a house. So, and it kind of got me thinking about the whole idea of home and homelessness, and I was remembering a good friend of mine, and, you know, lovely guy, very smart, very clued up, but, you know, there's various situations going on in his world, and he sort of ends up going from motel to motel to homeless to motel, and I just thought, gosh, and I have a real sense of just how difficult, I can just imagine how difficult it is for him, just not being able to say, actually, where am I going to sleep tonight? And for a lot of people out there in the world, that's a very real thing. And having said that, I wasn't entirely sure how I was going to bring this in, but I really felt that I should share a little bit of my story. And this is probably an experience that I've had about homelessness, if you like, or as close as I have actually been. And it's funny you talked about the West Island today, Mark, because many years ago, I went to live on the West Island, and really good friend of mine, you know, we'd been really good mates for many years, and he moved over to Brisbane, and he had his own business over there, and we'd always talked about me coming over to work for him. And I really wanted to go and work for him. You know, what a dream come true, us working together and all these, you know. And wouldn't Australia be amazing and Brisbane? And it's a great life over there, isn't it? Those of us who know. Maybe. And anyway, long story short, and some of you can probably guess where this is going, it didn't work out quite the way I thought, Jude. In fact, things went pear-shaped pretty quickly. And there was a point where I was actually... So I lost my job, and in pretty short order, I lost my place to live. And I just remember walking down the street, you know, having these conversations with God. And maybe you've had these conversations with God, tears streaming down my face, absolute mess. I don't know what I'm going to do, Lord. Where am I going to go? How is this going to work out? Absolutely no idea. And I just felt God say, ring the church and just ask if someone can put you up for a couple of nights. And the church in question was a C3 church. Some of you might be familiar with C3. It's kind of a bit like Hillsong. And they've got churches all around the world. And this particular church I'd been to a couple of times, C3 Bridgman Downs, or C3 BD. It's on the north side of Brisbane. And I'd only really been there a couple of times. I'd intended to go to church, but, you know, busy with work and life, and it didn't quite happen. And anyway, I felt God say, ring the church, ring the office. And I'm like, well, you know, and you argue with God, but I really didn't have any options. So it's like, all right, Lord. Picked up the phone, rang the office, and Joanne answered the phone. I'd met Joanne a couple of times. I knew her very vaguely. I said, hi, Joanne, it's Dave Lusk, the Kiwi. You know, I met you a couple of weeks ago. She said, I don't know how to say this, but I actually don't have a place to stay. And would it be possible, would there be anyone in the church who could put me up for a couple of nights? And in like perhaps a nanosecond, she said, you can come and stay with me and my family. I was like, oh my gosh. Wow. So anyway, I went to stay with Joe and Brian. And Brian's actually a Kiwi. So maybe that explains why Joe didn't feel she could say no. But anyway, they were amazing. They were so kind to me. I got to stay with this family and their three kids. And they were just incredible. I actually ended up staying there a couple of weeks. And Joanne's a born networker. And she'd actually organised, you know, another couple in the church where they were going away for a month. I could go and stay in their house. I'd go and house sit for them. And then another place I could go and stay over there. And I sort of ended up going all around the church, all around the northern suburbs, if you like. And met the most amazing people. And sort of healed and learned and started to get my life back together. And that was my church, that was my home. That was my home. And when I left, I was over in Brisbane for about a year, and then I came back here, ironically. Richard Buttonshaw was responsible for getting me back here. Some of you know Richard. And if you know Richard, you can't say no to Richard. He'll talk your ear off until you do. So I came back to work back here. But before I left Queensland, I had a message for the senior pastor at C3 Bridgman Downs, and I asked him to read this out at church. And I said to him, you guys were the Matthew 25 church. Do you know what I mean by that? Do you know what Matthew 25 is? So it's, I was hungry and you fed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me in. I was in prison and you visited me. I said, as you do this for the least of my brethren, you do this for me. And I just want to say for the record, just categorically for the record, at no point was I naked. At no point was I in prison. Okay, just so we're clear on that. So I hope that got picked up. But I said, you guys were that church to me. And maybe that talks a bit into what we're going to talk about today. So I guess having said that, and I should look at the notes at some point, shouldn't I? So home and place matter to God, don't they? Okay. They matter to the one who chose to make his home among us. The early Christian theologian, Augustine, said, "For you made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you." Amen. So our primary and original home is in God. God has always embedded us in a place and called us to be a people. And he's called us to welcome others to find their home in God too. Okay. So as we're creating homes and a sense of home, that can mirror God's creation of a place for us. God calls us to be open, welcoming and empowering, helping others to find, make, prepare and create a home. We can be inviting others into belonging too. So now I'd like to go to our passage. The passage is John 14, verses 1 to 14. I'd like to invite my friend Connor to read these verses out for us. So thank you, Connor. Yeah. Here we go. Come up here.
It says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, so that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. But from now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me?
Wow.
The words I say to you are not just in my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it."
Awesome. Great job, Connor. Great job. Wow, that's a powerful passage, isn't it? I am the way, the truth, and the life. So this is part of Jesus' farewell message to the disciples. So he's trying to encourage them to stay the course. "I am leaving, but I will return to you." Okay? So the path that he has walked is the one that we are to follow. If we have faith in his person, in who he is, and his work, we will find our rest, we will find our vocation, our purpose, and we will find our home. So, just sort of working through this, verse 1, Jesus meets the disciples where they're at, and he encourages them to replace any fear they have with confidence in God and in him. "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me." Okay. Verse 2, there's a lot of debate over what is meant by house and what is meant by rooms. "In my Father's house, there are many rooms. If it were not so, would I not have told you? would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go, I come to take you to myself, that where I am you may be also. So the dwelling place, you know, where the Father is. So when we look at the Greek word for this is Romanopolis. Really? It's not Romanopolis. I just threw that out there to see who was listening. It's actually from the word, and I like this, I don't know if I'm saying it correctly, it's meno. Meno, you're probably going to unpick that, but that's all right. What it means is maintaining relationship, an intimate fellowship. I think that's just such a powerful, to me that's just really powerful. Sometimes I think, Jude, we should have been learning Greek. There's so much more to it, isn't there? So he's kind of referring to a place, a dwelling place or a room. Okay. Why go there if there are many rooms? Because going is the preparation. Jesus had work to do. He had to go. He had to take the path of the cross. He had to be crucified. He had to be resurrected so he could ascend and release the Holy Spirit and impart the Holy Spirit to us so that we could continue on with the work. Does that sort of make sense? Okay. So Jesus said he is going to the Father, and the disciples know the way. We're in verse 4. So everything he's been saying and doing throughout his ministry is pointing the direction. Okay? So the way to the Father is to embrace Jesus as the embodiment of God. We have to believe Jesus is who he said he was. Okay, does that sort of make sense? Follow? Okay, from this the disciples will do Jesus' works, and they will have, in so doing, they will have an intimate relationship with God. Now, it's interesting in this verse that the disciples still haven't made the connection with what Jesus has been doing or proclaiming. So that they're still not quite following it. But the way here that he's talking about is not a what or a where, but a who. So we're talking about Jesus. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Everything is through him. It's through the person of him. When we see Jesus, we see the Father. Okay? So there's a lot of frustration. Jesus said, you know, you have seen the Father. If you're asking about the Father. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So we have to understand that he is in the Father and the Father is in him. Does that sort of follow? So Jesus, so it's interesting in 8 and 9, he rebukes the disciples because he expects that they've been with him all this time. They've been with him all this time. They've seen all the miracles. They've seen him laying hands on causing the dead to rise, the lame to walk, the blind to see, raising the sick, raising the dead, feeding the 5,000. You've seen all the work that I've done. How do you not get it? How do you still not get it? I mean, I always laugh at the disciples. I'm like, how could you possibly miss that? And then the truth is we're just the same, aren't we? We would be exactly the same. You know, but exactly the same. So I think we all need a wake-up call there, don't we? And also, the other thing is, I guess if we're talking about the following verses, so we talk about, it says here, greater works would we do than he has done. And it also says in verse 13 and 14, whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that my Father may be glorified in heaven. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. So there's a couple of things here. We're doing it in his... So ambassadors operate in the name of the ruler of the country they come from, don't they? They operate in the name of the king or the president. So we are Christ's ambassadors, aren't we? We do things in his name. He empowers us. It's actually his mantle upon us. And I'm going to sort of, the bit that I has particularly jumped out for me here is the bit where it says, greater works will we do than he has done. And that really strikes a chord with me. And that's probably where I'd like to sort of start to conclude. I go back to the, when I think of that, I actually think of David Livingstone, Jude. And I just love that. Who loved that story about the 39 angels? You had to be here last week. I'm sorry if you weren't. It's a great story. I can recap on that. Actually, I was going to say I have actually been to Victoria Falls, and there is a monument to David Livingstone. And I walked up to this monument, and I said, "Statue David Livingstone." That was the joke. That's for you, Mark. That's the joke. I actually road tested that one. I was out with a mate the other day having lunch, and I said, I'd like to say this. Should I say that? And you can take it from that clearly I don't listen. Clearly I don't listen. So going back to the 39, David Livingstone and the 39 angels, I think that's an absolutely amazing story. And just to recap, David was under attack, or he was threatened. A chief was going to attack him, and they were on their knees. They were probably on their knees, you know, crying, probably what I was doing on the streets of Brisbane. You know, Lord, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Just knowing that this attack was going to happen. And then it doesn't happen. That no one turns up at the appointed time. And then years later, the chief gets converted, or it may not have been years, and David Livingstone says, why didn't you come and attack? And he said, oh, we did come. He said, we did come, but we saw these 39, and I think maybe 39 angels, maybe they weren't fat, naked babies with harps, maybe they were 10 foot tall, bulletproof bronze, mighty men, not of this world. But there's no way they were going to stand up against that, so they fled. And then David goes back to his sending church later and says, he was telling them all about it, and they said, when did this happen? And he gives them the date, and they said, oh, isn't that interesting? That particular morning, we had 39 people here in the church praying for you. Isn't that incredible? Isn't that amazing? I'm just blown away with that story. That's a great story, Jude. It sounds terrible to say it, and I mean this ever so nicely, but Jude tells the best stories. And you're going to be talking next week. Well, you have awesome stories for us next week. Stay tuned. Come back next week, everybody. So I suppose my point in all this is, so David Livingstone and his team, they're putting their, where is their home? In the midst of all this, where is their home? They're under attack, they're in a strange land. Where is their home? Where is their home? Where is their secure place? Where is their safe place? In the midst of the turmoil raging around them, in the midst of all the possibilities, you know, we could lose our lives. But that's where it is. That's where our home. That's where our home is. And that's where our anchor is, isn't it? That's where our anchor needs to be. That's where our safe place needs to be. Does that sort of make sense? So I'm going to sort of wrap things up with a prayer. And then I'd like to invite Mark to come up and finish up. So every head bowed, every eye closed. Heavenly Father, you are the builder of every home. You are the creator of this land that gives us all a place to belong. Christ, you called us. You made your home at our table. Teach us to open our homes and to welcome others as you have welcomed us. for many have no safe place, no table to call their own, and nowhere to rest. For injustice so often feasts at the tables of the hungry and erodes the foundations of the poor. Turn our hearts and our homes towards you. Help us to open our doors and make room, to embrace your radical hospitality, and to share freely from our table. May strangers become friends, both host and guest. Be transformed by one another's presence. Wairuatapu, Holy Spirit, make your home within us, so that through our love and hospitality, others may find their rest within you. Amen. Thank you.
Awesome. Yeah, if the worship team would like to come back up. That certainly speaks volumes that where is your home? You know, they're online, if you're listening and watching, we want you here with us. This is your home. But it begins first with letting Jesus make his home in your life. Have you done that? Is today the day you need to do that? To make Jesus' home in your life? Because if when you make your home, your life, home for Jesus, then he gets to make around you a home for others. I was thinking about the scripture that's where he says, I have gone to make a home for you. In my house there is many rooms. And then it got me thinking about, where is God's kingdom? Oh, it's in you. It's in you. It's in you. So if his kingdom is a place that has many rooms, has the fact that you've invited Jesus into your life and he's made his home in you, that now your home is available for someone else. Your life available to serve, to help, support, encourage, enrich someone else. Is it your home that he's looking to build so that his kingdom can grow? If you haven't made that start with making Jesus in your home, your life, I'm just going to pray. And if you want to pray this prayer with me and then come and see me afterwards, I'm not going to ask you to come up the front. Father, I reach out to you. I've been away from you for so long. But today's the day I want to make my life your home. Come and make your home in my life. I want to hear from you. I want to serve you. I want Holy Spirit to lead and guide me and make your word alive to me. And I want to start that journey today. Ask in Jesus' name. If you've said that for the first time, if you've said it because you want to come back home, come and let us know after the service. This is our home. I always, when I do my mihi, I always say that this is my whare. This is my home. The Wainamata Baptist Church is part of my mihi. It's my home. If this is your home and you have some broken relationships within this house, maybe today's the day to start putting that right and going and seeing that person. And maybe it's not about bringing up whatever it caused the broken relationship. Maybe it's just about going, hey, look, I'm sorry for my part, and allowing the Holy Spirit to come into that. Broken relationships in our families. Can we restore those? With Jesus in our home. It starts here with us. And from here with us, it then goes out to the world Arute, gone out from New Zealand, people from New Zealand and other countries, their home, making their home there, so that Jesus, who has made his home in their lives, is now reaching out and affecting others. There was an awesome story about the angels. Why not begin your story today? God wants to have stories, testimonies like that with every single one of us, where his power moves. If you need prayer for anything today, healing, you're not sure how to make Jesus your home, come and talk to us up the front. Talk to the person next to you. There are brothers and sisters here that would love to pray for you. We can minister to each other and build each other and encourage each other. I'm going to hand over to the worship team. Stay behind after for a cup of tea and coffee. Youth starts this week. We're excited about that on Friday, 7 o'clock. Look forward to seeing, if you're at high school, come down. Maybe you can make this church your home too.